you've got to understand your data in terms of where the flows are and what it's doing. But then also you've got to understand like the performance. So if you know how things are doing, different segments, then you know actually what you've got to go and do.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar, well, here on Keep Optimizing, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email, it could be SEO, or at the moment, it could be customer retention. And in each episode, and we put a new one live every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making a part of that marketing method work for you. We are deep in our brand new topic of customer retention at the moment. We've done subscription, we've done secondhand, and we've done strategies for bigger businesses. We are now getting into the knotty, nitty-gritty topic of CRM, your CRM system. What should it be? How does it work? How can you leverage it? Clearly, and a very important part of any customer retention strategy, because it's going to be where you drive a lot of it from, and it's also going to be where you understand what is and isn't working, and where you segment your customers. So Nikki Lomax, the brilliant Nikki Lomax, is back on the show to talk about this. She's been doing CRM implementation projects for a whole host of high street retailers and big e-commerce brands. And she is going to be taking us through three key parts you need to get right for your customer retention when it comes to the CRM side of it. First off, we're going to talk about your CRM tech choices. When do you need a new CRM? When do you need, have you outgrown your email? How to find the right one and some tips and tricks for implementing it right. Then we're going to talk about data and accuracy, what data you need, checks to make, and the importance of all that part of it. And then thirdly, we're going to talk about performance reporting and how you know what to do next. That's a mini snippet of what we're talking about. There's a few other things we get into as well. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode so you don't miss any of those, because if you don't listen to the end, you'll miss Nikki's quickfire insider tips, and you'll also miss my recommendations for further listening. So make sure you stay tuned to the end, everyone. Are you drowning in retention tactics and Klaviyo flows, but still can't prove with certainty which ones actually bring customers back? You are suffering from the retention clarity gap. Brands like Health, Heights, and Kilo Health trust Yocto to fix it. Yocto help you go from "we think it's working" to "we know it's working," so you can finally prove your impact. Head to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense to your execs. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. In this episode, I'm chatting with customer retention expert Nikki Lomax. Nikki is a CRM specialist, spending 10 years at marketing and data agency More2, where she created both acquisition and retention data strategies for big retail brands like Loaf, Charles Tirrett, Book People, Jules, Sweaty Betty, and Hush. She now works brand side, most recently running CRM projects at The Perfume Shop, Yoto, This Works, and Ted Baker. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks for having me. Can't believe it. I was going to say, it's like the third time you've had one of these, which is...
You're a reliable guest. You know, you always bring the goods. What can I say? Plus, you're one of those people who's deep in CRM and can talk about it in an interesting way, because it can get very datary, which we love, but yeah. It can get very datary. So last time you were on, we were talking very much about acquisition. So this time, how did you end up working in customer retention?
Yes, it's been an interesting move. And I think maybe I haven't quite followed the typical CV trend. I've actually read a lot about squiggly careers, and I think I'd fall very much in that box. So yeah, I'm very much a traditional media, come data acquisition, which I had kind of my early career. And then, yeah, no, it's an interesting point in my life. I think when I left More2, where I'd been, you know, technically ahead of media and data acquisition, but it was like the acquisition side. But then it's like, well, it's not really media anymore, because that's all Meta and Google, and that wasn't really quite my area. But actually, I knew an awful lot about data, and I've been in 1,000 meetings with people talking about CRM strategies, and I knew how it all worked. It's just applying it more to your own customers rather than buying data. So yeah, it's a bit of a crossroads. And I thought, well, actually, this is more my thing and where my skills are. So then, yeah, and I really wanted to kind of be in-house and be kind of the other side of the table, really. So then I've started doing various contracting consulting roles ever since, which has kind of been going for over 4 years now, which is amazing. And it's, I'm very pleased. If 4 years ago, I am where I am now. It's kind of, yeah, really what I wanted to be doing.
And you've been doing some big meaty CRM projects in-house, at brands recently, which is why it's so cool to have you as part of this customer retention series, because I think people often get into, I think I might have said something like this in every episode, so apologies listeners if I have, but it's almost like people go, oh, retention, we'll slap some subscription on it, we'll slap a loyalty program on it, we'll slap some email marketing on it, and it's all going to be fine. But it's more complicated than just ticking a box. So how do we get started in the CRM space, the email marketing, the direct mail, the customer data? How do we set ourselves up for success with customer retention in that zone?
Yeah, I would say there's kind of two things, really. Is you've got to understand your data in terms of where the flows are and what it's doing. But then also you've got to understand like the performance. So if you know how things are doing, different segments, then you know actually what you've got to go and do, rather than just random ideas. Oh, let's do, you know, like you just said, let's throw some points at this or do something. It's like, well, actually, where are your problems? And is your data working as it should be?
Cool. Well, let's tackle both of those then. First off, your data, where it's coming from, what it's doing. What's the common stuff you're fixing for people or that you find people failing to do?
So it's quite interesting, actually, especially working with a couple of larger retailers more recently, is actually like most brands are having the same problems. So it's like actually the first thing I would do in kind of coming into a business is actually place an order. It sounds so basic, but when was the last time, you know, someone in the business actually did that? So what are you seeing? What are you receiving? What do you then get? What your kind of sign-up journey is? And then, you know, is everything happening as it should be? You know, are your triggers working? Is your welcome journey happening? And then if it is, it's then actually doing that critique of, well, I got this, but I didn't get that. And that was a bit weird. And why that didn't happen and I thought it would. And then you're off, basically. And then you can, so it's quite quickly, you know, make your difference, make your mark quite quickly in a business when you've identified, you know, 3-5 things that you've got to do and go after them.
It is amazing how often in any business you get that random email and you're like, how did that get out? Where did that come from?
No, totally. And then people go, oh yeah, no, I forgot about that. Or, oh, I didn't know that one was still running. Or, oh yeah, we have that, but you know, we've been busy with our kind of commercial and BAU emails, so we haven't really like looked at that for a while. It's like, okay, well, it's still going out to hundreds of thousands of people.
I thought that one was turned off.
Yes.
We cancelled that contract years ago.
Yeah. It's interesting, especially I actually around like order emails and things like those are often like the ones at the bottom of the list. But you're like, goodness, you know, they're the ones that people receive like after every email. It's like, wow, that should be a bit higher up in their priority list.
Yeah, they're the ones with the near 100% open rates.
Exactly.
But we'll just ignore those.
Yeah,
someone set them up 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Which I guess back at the beginning of my career was acceptable because it was really complicated to change them, but now there is no excuse.
No
excuse at all.
I suppose, depends what platform you're on, I suppose, because then, you know, some things are easier than others. Yeah, and then as part of that, I suppose, though, when I've led some more kind of meatier projects with brands, it's actually then, yeah, what are the kind of the tech stack to support the CRM and is that working and making the case to change it and finding the right one?
Because I guess a lot of businesses get confused around just the term CRM, which I suppose I use kind of willy-nilly as term for database, which is not necessarily the right way. You know, some companies will be using their website, their Shopify store as their customer database. Other people will be using their email service provider, so be it Klaviyo, Omnisend, whatever it is they're choosing to use. And then others will actually have a proper and inverted commas CRM. What do you define as a CRM and how do we work out what sort of thing we need?
Yeah, and actually, so as you say that, I'm thinking it's also in terms of businesses using it, it's also like where it sits, I think makes massive difference of what it is. So, you know, some teams it's within, or some businesses it's within the digital team, and you're very connected with e-com, and, you know, it sits alongside or like the performance team, and, you know, you may well be sitting under a kind of head of CRM and performance who's got the oversight of both, and you can be really connected. And you know the trade team of e-com or any retail, so you're part of that. Then the other kind of half of CRMs, where you kind of, you know, the customer marketing, but, you know, is it management or is it marketing? The M, that's another interchangeable definition. it's then marketing. So you're also a marketeer. So you can also sit closely very with brand, like that's really important, and getting kind of all the creatives and messaging and what's happening on the kind of commercial calendar there. So I think it also kind of varies like what includes in that role. Because, you know, some teams you have your weekly kind of BAU emails are run by a brand team who are then using an email platform, but then others it's all totally in like the CRM team. So like the function of actually what CRM is can change very much between different businesses.
And presumably there's no wrong or right answer for where it should sit and what the tech should be. It's more about the right solution that enables your business to do what it needs to do.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I suppose you kind of have an opinion about where I've seen things work better or not. And I think where challenges can be is maybe where CRM is more pulled towards the brand side, where actually it's quite a performance channel. And so the skills are much closer to an e-com and performance team. So I think it's a challenge when you're not with those people as your kind of wider team.
So would it be fair to say the best CRM implementations is when it's a cross-company team making decisions about how the CRM will run? You know, you've got people who are in charge of the orders and the processing and the nitty-gritty transactional data, but you've also got people involved who are on the demand driving side of things.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interconnected, function, and your kind of cross-functional relations are really, really important to build those relationships. I mean, that's also, I guess, another thing of when I've kind of come into a business of, projects and trying to deliver something is actually who are these people and kind of getting to know them all. And it's kind of been amazing where I think where a CRM's been quite siloed, that, you know, unsurprising, I suppose, there maybe hasn't been a great relationship with buying or with IT. And it's like, oh goodness, you know, those are really key teams, and, you know, make friends with them basically. You know, meet them in the water cooler or in the kitchen, make a cup of tea, and, you know, you've got to work those relationships for it to work.
And is it possible to, or I guess, how far is it possible to get with just your email platform as your CRM database without a separate customer data platform? Can you get to 100 million, or are you going to be missing opportunities? Or is it more like you get to 500,000 and then it's time to invest in a proper CRM?
Yeah, I would say kind of more the latter, really. I think you can to an extent. Smaller brands, absolutely fine. You can do quite a bit. I mean, we're seeing on, you know, on Klaviyo, they've got some great tools and segmentation, and that can really lead what you're doing, and kind of in conjunction with Shopify, like those two work really well, and you can do some kind of really good automated emails through them as well. But the thing is, when you've really, you know, you're dealing with like a big chunky database, you've got, you know, and with that, your tech stack gets much more complicated. You've got different things feeding in. It's just not going to hold like that amount of data really, to be able to use it properly.
So is that the key point at which you know you need to invest in a separate CRM, is when you're not able to integrate all the data you want in a seamless way? So maybe you've got a shop loyalty program and physical stores, maybe you've got wholesaling going on, and you end up with pockets of data in different places. Is that the part time you go, hold on a minute, we need a better solution?
Yeah. And suppose I think that's where IT, you know, if there's a strong IT team and relation, like, they kind of already know that already, and it's then kind of pushing that onto like the tech roadmap and making it happening, because I think everyone probably knows that already, like it's already been identified, but it's kind of going, well, hang on, like, why hasn't this been done, and trying to get it up front of mind and make it happen.
And for anyone who's at that point right now, any tips for them on how to find the right CRM? Because I doubt there's one that's perfect for everybody. So how do we pick it?
Yeah, interesting question. Eyes and ears, really. Talk to people. When you're talking with, various companies that do that, it's like, you know, where your competitors are, go talk to them, talk within your network. You know, whenever you go to events, it's often like, you know, first question people ask to kind of get going is, you know, what system, what's your CRM, what data platform, what ESP, how's that working? And it's really kind of that networking, really. I think then you learn, go out and find more, and then you actually feel like much more confident in your decision making and where you're going to go with it.
So loads of research, everybody.
Yeah, that's
the thing. Loads of research and talk to your other people who are doing CRM projects and who've been there, done that. Love it. Thank you, Nikki. So you said we had two things to really focus in on. One was the data, one was the performance. We have just had a fascinating conversation about the tech, which I think is super important too. But going back to the data, one thing which we've said a huge amount on this podcast of late because of the growth of AI and automations and all that kind of stuff is garbage in, garbage out. Presumably, given a lot of CRM-based marketing for customer retention is based on automations and triggers, presumably we've got to have a certain quality of data before we can start taking action and improving the customer retention metrics. Would that be the case?
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes back to the point of everything working as it should be. So for example, if you've got a welcome program, it sounds stupid, but if you sign up, are you actually in there? And are people looking at it? So I just really go back to this kind of back to basics, really, of have you got like those fundamentals right? So, welcome, band and basket, band and browse, those sorts of things, and the tech setting up. Because some of those can be quite complicated, especially you've got to get all the tagging right for your product pages and things like that. So, and sometimes that might not be within like the same ESP. It's got to go to different places, and to sort that. So then you've got to keep it up to date as well. So it's just kind of working that through, and then just kind of keep layering and making progress on your other triggers, really. So again, I just think a lot of brands, you think you've got to, the light at the end of the tunnel is you do have, 15, 20 different triggers, and they're all working beautifully. But the brands I've worked with recently, to be honest, you've got to get your first five right and then move on. And it's just no point in kind of doing more until you've mastered all that.
So I suppose part of what happens when people start on a proper customer retention CRM project is that they go, oh, look, the abandoned basket's not working, or some of the actual more acquisition activity isn't working. And of course, there's usually a lot more to be gained from fixing the acquisition activity before there is the retention strategy. So I guess we're doing this under customer retention series, but it may lead to you spending a couple of months working on the acquisition triggers and flows before you get into the retention ones.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you've got then other part things like refer a friend, which can be great. And that's an interesting one, because actually, is that retention or is that actually acquisition? Because
who knows?
I was doing some work on that recently. You're referring. So, I'm giving you, here you go, Chloe, here's your offer. And then you're like, oh, thanks. Right, I'll go and buy. And then I get, a kickback reward going, here's 10% or £10, whatever, to say thank you. But actually, the people who are often spending the most is you as the friend, and then you go and give it to your other friends, and actually me as the initial person, my value is actually quite low on my own. But what I have done is introduce you and all your friends in your network, so I may spend £100, but what I've actually gone and generated is like £1,000. But then so I'm only £100, so my value is quite low, and yours, you could have referred it to like four friends who've gone off, because you just love referrals. So it's quite an interesting thing of actually how much of an acquisition tool versus retention is. The answer is it's both, really, but you've got to look at it together.
I would love to disappear down that rabbit hole. but I'm going to resist it, everybody, because I want to get onto the performance element of things as well. But what I would say about that point you made is that immediately had my head going, oh God, lifetime value was complicated enough.
Yeah.
So you almost, I can see you ending up with two separate lifetime value scores. One of the customer's lifetime value and one of the customer's referral value.
Yeah.
Well, not minefield. Let's step back from that. So you said at the beginning we had data and we had performance. So the performance, I think this is where, obviously the getting the data right, getting the automation and the triggers and the flows right is hugely powerful for kickstarting our customer retention journey. But where the power isn't then in how we optimize that and improve it, which I'm guessing is what you mean when you're saying about the performance, that we can actually see the impact of these things. So how do we go about getting that right?
Yeah, so it's just kind of like the data and reporting and having that, like where again the data sources are and having the reporting set up. So if that's something that you only get data from, you know, maybe GA in your ESP, or, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a good insights team, what are they providing? Are they providing the right thing? Was there something set up, you know, by your predecessor or even before them, which had this amazing dashboard? But, you know, is anyone actually looking at it now that, you know, it was the thing of the time 6 months ago, but everyone's forgotten about it? But actually knowing what's there, and again, it's like these relationships and talking to those people that, oh yes, we've got this, so and so did it, and like that's amazing, like how often that can happen, of actually might find the information is there and not reinventing it, or it's more like refining. But yeah, I just think it's then having like the reporting structure in place, so, you know, you're really clear, you know, what you're going to look at, I guess, even daily, what are you looking at weekly, what are you looking at monthly, and then what your measure success are, so you can, you know, if something's good or not, and then you know where to focus your time.
So the same as we do with, or we should be doing for reporting across the board, mm-hmm. in every element, but it's one of the cool things about customer retention activity is that the numbers are there. You know, there's no question marks about it. The numbers will tell you exactly where to focus. Nikki, anything we've missed that it would be really remiss of us not to talk about in the space of CRM? Because I think we've given the audience a lot, but is there any element, any nugget you wanted to additionally add?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, the thing around like RFM and segmentation, I guess, and kind of where that's going, because actually about the reporting bit of maybe some of that could be a bit manual. I don't know, brands use like Power BI or something, you've got a lot of performance dashboards and things going on there, but actually with increasing AI, like what the place of that's going to be in the future. And I think like then, yeah, all your segmentation tools, and as I think a lot of the customer data platforms and how they're going is so kind of driven, like that they know which customers have bought and when, and it just takes actually away of maybe a lot of that reporting analysis for you, because it's just telling you what you should be doing and all like loads of dynamic content and activity. So I think it's a really interesting place to be at the moment, and like kind of keeping quite close to that technology at the moment, yeah, would actually free up quite a lot of time and make better performance of activity.
I'd never thought of that, but and listener, just so you know, before we hit record, I was saying, Nikki, we've got to cover RFM. We've got to cover RFM, because from my 20 years ago in the world of catalogues. But Nikki, you're so right. RFM may be about to die, because what you're saying in the CRM space, in the retention space, in the segmentation piece, is exactly the same as we're seeing with Facebook ads and Google ads, where the manual targeting activity is being taken away from the humans, which would be RFM in the case of data, you know, segmentation and selection, and being given over to the algorithms, because the algorithms can manage all these data points and make a better set of decisions around who we should be targeting than we can. Mm-hmm. So like almost your own mini migration of activity within your own CRM, the same thing. Love that.
Yeah, and in terms of like copy as well, that's an interesting one, you know, like how many teams have copywriters, or actually you've got a CRM exec who is kind of building emails but then also doing copy as well, which is a very different skill. But actually, you know, poor copywriters out there, there's a bit of a challenge, isn't there, of you know, the AI in that space, how much is it needed, yeah, where that's going, one to keep close on.
Definitely. I'm going to resist that rabbit hole as well. We could talk for 3 hours yeah. on that one. Nikki, thank you so much for letting us pick your brains about how to underpin our customer retention strategies with our CRM implementation. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Nikki's insider tips and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses.
Founder to founder, are you really sure which of your retention efforts are driving repeat purchases? Or are you just hoping your Klaviyo flows and loyalty programs are doing their job? That's the retention clarity gap, and it's what's holding you back from real measurable growth. Founders at brands like Health and Heights trust Yocto to cut through the noise and show them exactly what's working. If you're ready to stop guessing and start scaling smarter, go to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense. That's keepopt.com/YOCTO.
Okay, Nikki, so far we've gone deep into CRM. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of customer retention. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with customer retention, which of course does include all those things we've already been talking about. Nikki, are you ready for these?
I think so.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I think it's back to the point earlier about when you're talking about CRM tools and things, it's all about research. So I think you've just got to get out there. So go to as many events as you can, sign up to newsletters. LinkedIn can be really powerful. You know, follow companies you like, people that look interesting, and you know, start getting known.
Awesome. Okay, let's see. When you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, you've got to have a kind of regular process of reviewing what you're doing and planning, making sure kind of what you've got a roadmap is still relevant depending on recent performance. And also kind of what I touched on earlier is making sure you've got really clear what you're looking at, you know, daily, weekly and monthly.
Excellent. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yeah, I try and go to some events which are free, like Attentive SMS Partner. They have really great events. Inkpact, a DM handwritten cards. They do, it's really good ones. Emitria, they're a customer platform. And also Tapestry holds some events as well. So they're all free things.
That's four brilliant sets of events there. Love that. Thank you. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I think more AI. I think that's going to become big in like the tech space of CRM.
In the way we were just talking about in terms of replacing the RFM. Is there anything people can do to be ready for that? Or is it just kind of waiting for your tech partners to alert you, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't wait for them to tell me. I would be talking to them already and trying to find out about it. So you're ahead and you know, yeah, and you're it's still the right thing for you.
And I suppose if you're currently shopping for a CRM system, this would be a really key thing to understand, is what's on their roadmap of how they're going to enable it and how much they're going to force you to or not to use it, I suppose would be a key thing too, wouldn't it? How much flexibility have you got in implementation?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, then there's a whole kind of legal bit around that, which be ready for what your legal team might be asking around AI, which... Another rabbit hole.
I'm like, on that, that feels like it ought to have like an EastEnders ending to it there.
Yeah.
Bad luck, everybody. The legal team got mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, Nikki, on that big ending moment, could you please let the listeners know where they can find out more about you and your business and get in touch if they want to?
Yeah, so find me on LinkedIn, Nikki Lomax. Yeah, so I'm currently finishing up at the perfume shop. I've actually confirmed my next contract, which is a brilliant maternity cover at the White Company. So I'll be there until kind of Q4, all going well. And then, yeah, be available for my next thing.
There you go, guys. So if you want to make sure you're grabbing Nikki the second she becomes available in Q4, you know what to do. Get in contact with her on LinkedIn. Nikki, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's always a pleasure catching up with you. So thanks for sharing so much with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Chloe. It's been fun.
Okay, so three big pieces there from Nikki's chat about CRM. First off, have you got the right CRM tech in place? What do you need? How are you going to work out what you need and how are you then going to implement that? Secondly, is your data in all the right places? So A, is the flows working? Place an order. Are you getting the emails you think you should be getting? What are they saying? Where are they coming from? Postal at the same time, SMS at the same time. Is it actually behaving like it should? And then start looking at the performance of all those elements. Have you A, got the tracking and the reporting in place so you can see what's working and where the sales are coming from? And then which bits that your CRM technology enables should you be building next? And that might mean that you're going back to do some customer acquisition work before it's really worth you getting stuck into the retention work. So three cool areas there. And then that absolute curveball about how the AI could affect how we do CRM segmentation in the future. Dun, dun, dun. Is it the death of RFM? Expect Chloe's LinkedIn post coming soon on that one. Okay, you can get links to everything we just discussed, the transcript of this episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. That's keepopt.com/ the number of this episode, which will take you straight to the correct page on the site. When you get to the website, please put yourself on our email list because we share loads of extra stuff there that will help you with your business. And thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it, then do check out our other episode with Nikki, where we're talking acquisition and more specifically offline media buying. That's episode 211, if you want to scroll up your feed. You can also, if you want to get deeper into customer retention, you can find all our customer retention content at keepopt.com/retention. Or if you scroll up your feed just before this episode, you will find sessions on retention strategy, the big picture of how to go about improving it for a big brand. You will find a session on subscription and you'll find a session on, she says, hastily looking at her notes. Oh yeah, how could I forget this one? Secondhand and resale. So how that is now having a very positive impact in customer retention for many brands, especially in the fashion space. So those episodes are immediately before this one. So loads for you to check out there. Please do tell your fellow marketers about this show because I want to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of all their e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to our next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Fix your retention clarity gap now. Get your personalized retention playbook at keepopt.com/yocto.